things we don't have on the agenda. I would just leave this for today.
How much?
While it is still coming. So that I speak to my principal and said I'm giving him 5 minutes. The 5 minutes has now been exhausted. Our agenda reads as follows. Item 1 is opening welcome and papers of the meeting. Number 2, apology. 3, adoption of the agenda. So I will start with item 1 while we are waiting for the agenda. Madam Bellet, gone down to collect the agenda. Honorable members and our officials, you are welcome. The purpose of today's meeting is briefing on entrepreneurial finance, imperative for growth and employment by OMED. So we have started this journey that since we are new in the portfolio committee, it is essential for us to be briefed about all corners of the department. And if you check challenges which are faced by this department, it's on issues of rating, finance being one of them. Our people on the ground want to start their businesses, they are ready because poverty and hunger is rife. But the only difficulty, they don't know which door or doors are they supposed to go and knock. So the briefing will assist honorable members since our role is to do oversight to our department as well as to make sure that we communicate with our constituents and we must assist them. So we'll allow those to give us that particular briefing, then we'll engage. And then the next item in our agenda is apologies. Let me check with our secretary whether we do have apologies. Bracken.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, colleagues from the department. Chair, I have received apologies from the Office of the Deputy Minister. And then I've also received an apology from Honorable Zumula, who is attending the PC on human resources, where he's also a member of the committee. I'll also register the apology of the minister of the department. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Bonene, these are the apologies. We have agreed that if ministers are in their portfolio committee, then since our main objective is to make sure that they finish everything so that they can adopt their strategic plan, as long as the reps are here on behalf of this offices. We appreciate that. I've seen the rep from the Deputy Minister's office as well as from the Minister's office. And then let me say we note the apologies and the portfolio committee. Agreed to? Thank you. So the agenda, in our agenda, we've got only two items. One is consideration and adoption of committee minutes of the two previous meetings. The first one was on the 9th of October 2019, and the second one was on the 16th of October 2019. So the next item, which is the main item, is only one item, the one I outlined during the purpose of the meeting, although they will bring the agenda. Because this is a formal meeting, we can't office without those hard copies. It will be briefing on entrepreneurial finance, imperative growth and employment by the quarter advisor or Babaspo comment. Can we now go to our documents and look at the first part of our minutes, which was on Wednesday, the 16th of October 2019, at 10. Let us look page 1 on the corrections.
Madam Chair, I remember adding to the resolutions that we must, I proposed that we must investigate to table the Ombudsman Bill as a committee bill to solve the headaches of small businesses in South Africa. And I also remember that there was not a single person in this committee that actually disagree with me. So, and I don't see it as part of the resolution.
In that resolution?
Yeah. It is on the report here. I thought it was on this 9th.
No, it was not on the 9th, it was last week. Was last week. So if we can just add the 6.5 that we
Thank you, Chair. I think the minutes that we are dealing with is the minutes of the 9th of October, 2019.
Mm.
The resolution was part of the second set of minutes, if I remember very well.
Mm.
The meeting of it was on the 16th of each day. Let me check the date, I think so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are we dealing with the 16th or the 9th?
The 9th.
No, the 9th.
Because my first minutes in my book is the 16th.
Oh,
so I'm very sorry.
Okay.
Misunderstanding.
No, I'm the one who has been so on behalf of my official.
Then I withdraw my comment. Thank you.
Really, because the minutes, the way they have been paged, a little bit confused. Can you check before we...
On which one? No, the 9th is safe. It's fine. Honorable Kuka is withdrawn. I'm sure that should be covered on the minutes of the 16th of October.
Was it yet?
Which is coming. Yeah. We're not done yet.
That's my point then. I don't know if I must repeat it. So I just propose that we add point 6.5, that this committee...
I'm still on page 3.
Yeah, that is point 6.3. Recommendations. Resolutions. It's my page 3.
Your minute is confusing, but we have agreed that we are going to capture it to do that particular resolution.
Mm.
Agreed?
Agreed. Mm-hmm.
And then, page 5.
Okay, now we can.
Page 6.
Mm.
Any mover for the adoption of the minutes? By Honorable Minister Mavembo, and Chairperson Tani for the adoption of the minutes. Any seconder? Honorable Brother? Honorable Hawk?
Yes, Chairperson, 2 seconds.
The minutes have been duly adopted. We now have got our agenda before us. The next item on our agenda is briefing on entrepreneurial finance imperatives for growth and employment by the Content Advisors. Over to you, Paul.
Thank you, Chairperson. Morning, honorable members. Chair, perhaps by way of introduction, I think it's important for one to indicate that this is basically an extension of the work we started, I think, 3 weeks ago, where we looked at the issues of bureaucratic red tape that are likely or that affect small enterprises. Maybe just to recap, Chairperson, we said these issues will fall under what we call thematic areas that the portfolio committee should deal with. We indicated that we'll start with the bureaucratic red tape, then we'll follow with access to finance, then the other one would be access to markets, The fourth one would be your business premises, land, offices, infrastructure. Then the last one would be your training, development, skills, reskilling and incubation. However, Chairperson, I said the last one, in my view, members are welcome to indicate if they want us to add other areas that they think they are of interest to small enterprises. I said the last one, it seems CEDA is doing a very good work on the last one when it comes to skills, training, development, etc. Then, Chair, we said we'll use the approach of going horizontal and vertical, where we look at the thematic areas of interest for small enterprises, and then we also look at the issues sectorally. Then we said, what are the sectors of interest to SMME, particularly those that create employment? We said one would be your agriculture and agri-processing, as well as light manufacturing or manufacturing. The next one, which was causing a huge storm not so long ago, was your wholesale and retail. The third one being your financial sector. The third one, it's the construction, infrastructure, and maintenance. It was the view, Chairperson, that these are sectorally maybe the areas that the portfolio committee should focus on. Well, as I indicated earlier, all members are welcome to add other areas that they would want to support staff to investigate, research, and come and present to the portfolio committee. Back to our presentation, Chairperson. The purpose of this presentation is to brief members of the Portfolio Committee on Small Business Development on issues of access to finance for small enterprises, to provide members with the guidance to the information they need in order to make effective decisions if certain matters of access to finance for entrepreneurs arises. Another purpose or objective is, for instance, in preparation for the forthcoming strategic planning sessions of the department, the portfolio committee will have to approve the spread plan of the department. Also, the portfolio committee, in terms of the parliament, the portfolio committee is required to undergo its own strategic planning session. So, today's work is basically part of that preparation. Another goal or objective, Chairperson, is to elicit discussion, comments from members, and to encourage debate, as access to finance is one of the major issues choking small enterprises. It's the showstopper, so to speak. So members are really welcome to make their voice heard as we move further. In terms of what I would cover, Chairperson, the contents, I will just cover the problem statement. I will do the introduction and background. I will look at the financial sector composition and contribution in the South African economy. We'll focus particularly on the banking sector, Chairperson. I'll state the reason why the banking sector. We'll look at the other players. I call them other players because of perhaps their modus operandi and the manner in which they are registered. We look at the key challenges with the banking sector. There are challenges, Chairperson. Small enterprises are not happy with the kind of service or product offering they are getting from the commercial banks. We'll then look at the role of the development finance institutions. We have one of our own, which is CIFA, that reports to us. We'll highlight key challenges, and then I've made an indicative recommendations towards the end of the presentation. So in terms of the problem statement, bullet point one, the topic of access to finance and financial inclusion has been of growing interest, not only in South Africa, but throughout the world, particularly in developing economies. South Africa is one of those developing economies. Policymakers are increasingly concerned that the benefits produced by financial intermediation and markets are not being spread widely enough throughout the population. Chairperson, here I'm making an example of Public Investment Commission, Industrial Development Corporation, UIF, GEPF, Land Bank and DBSA, you interact with any small enterprises today, they will tell you that they have never benefited from these institutions. Yet you see on the media on a daily basis that people are actually accessing money from IDC and PIC, etc. And across economic sectors such as agriculture and agriculture, I indicated, Chairperson, that this is one of the areas of interest to young women, rural and township smallholder farmers, which in our view, Chairperson, should be given your attention, with potential negative impacts on growth, income distribution and poverty levels, among others. Furthermore, the problem statement number three, Chairperson, is they may also be concerned with the potential negative consequences for macro stability when financial system assets are concentrated in relatively few individuals, firms or sectors. We are saying here, Chairperson, that this is a typical lot of the South African economy, where the economy is there is economic concentration to the few. The sectors are there is an overcapitalization of the sectors. Our economy is characterized by monopolies. The next one on slide five, Chairperson and honourable members, it's non-price barriers, which are often very important. For example, the design features of a product may discriminate against potential customers, or they may face barriers to access due to red tape. Some individuals will have no access to financial services because there are no financial institutions in their area, as is the case in many remote rural areas. This is Chairperson, on the file that we're giving to members, there is a paper by National Treasury which also speaks of the village banks. There was a progress registered in this regard in the form of the village banks, which were later transformed into SACOs. Then SACOs were later transformed into cooperative financial institutions. So basically it's an indication that what was done by National Treasury in 2001, it's still relevant today in 2019, and perhaps it's something that we should interrogate going forward. Yet others may be excluded because of poorly designed regulations. For example, documentation requirements of opening an account, it's still an issue even today. There are millions of South Africans who don't have a banking account, such as having a formal address. Some of our people are staying in squatter camps. They do not necessarily have an address. Some are employed in the informal sector of the economy. By the way, Chairperson, here I'm quoting the Asian Journal of Business Management. Then the third bullet point, the second bullet point is your provinces with higher GDP, such as Gauteng, KZN and the Western Cape, have a larger proportion of SMMEs with access to formal credit. On the other hand, SMMEs in poorer provinces such as Limpopo, Eastern Cape, Northwest, largely rely on informal credit. This is still the case, honorable members and chairperson, even today. Again, here I'm quoting a research paper which is available if members want it, which was done by Finmap Trust in 2018. Okay, going forward, Chairperson, to slide number six, introduction and background. In recent years, the number of financiers that make funding available to SMMEs in South Africa has increased significantly. This is the case. Due to the liberalization of the financial sector in South Africa. It's a sector that is growing, no doubt about that. Yet, in spite of this, each year sees countless SMEs struggling to access business finance. Access to finance has been singled out as one of the major challenges impeding the survival and growth of startup SMEs in South Africa. As we speak, Chairperson, I'm not aware of any funding that is dedicated to a startup project. Next one, significantly low figures of startup SMEs who apply for financing succeed in getting financing. Surprisingly, although there seems to be sufficient funds available, it remains difficult to access these funds, especially for startup SMEs. In this regard, Chairperson, I've listened carefully to the trajectory that the Department of Small Business Development seeks to pursue, where they are now they are trying to come up with an instrument which will be available for the particularly for the startup ventures. Slide number 7, access to finance is therefore a priority issue for developing and supporting the SME sector as an engine for employment creation, poverty alleviation, and socio-economic stability at large. The latest FinFin study of SME funders and finance seekers estimates that the credit gap of SME in SA is 86 billion rands and 346 billion rands. Here, Chairperson, I'm putting CIFA in brackets because if you contrast these amounts of money that are required by the economy vis-a-vis the amount of money that gets budgeted to CIFA on an annual basis, we are not even scratching the surface. SA has a sophisticated finance sector that displays a far greater level of financial openness than is the norm for middle-income countries. However, the problem is that millions of South Africans are unable to access credit of any kind, particularly the business credit, and that inequality poses a human rights problem. The conventional banking model deems the poor too risky to lend to the poor. Next one on slide 8, Chairperson. Their credit processes require borrowers to show formal sector employment with payslips. Some require collateral. Some require that an applicant must have a clean credit record. Those in the informal sector, as I've indicated before, are therefore unable to acquire these loans. The finance sector is leaving the have-nots behind. Their risk model seems incapable of lending of the kind done by Small Enterprise Foundation or on a far larger scale by Grameen Bank in Bangladesh. Chairperson, the Small Enterprise Foundation, it's one of the NPCs that is based in Limpopo. If you look at what they are doing for the people of Limpopo, you know, it's something perhaps that a portfolio committee should pay attention to. In particular, CIFA, if you look at the CIFA bad debt, the loan book, perhaps there are lessons to be learned by CIFA with this institution. Another one is Grameen Bank in Bangladesh. During the 5th Parliament, we had planned to visit this particular bank, but then due to cost-cutting measures, the Portfolio Committee decided to go to Mondragon in Spain. Then the next one, Chairperson, slide 9, financial sector composition and contribution in South Africa. The four subsectors below dominate the financial services sector in South Africa. The first one are banks. Chairperson, I've attached a list as Annexure A of all the registered banks in South Africa. There are insurers like Discovery, which have started to venture into a banking space. It means it's a growing sector again. You have pension funds. Here we are saying the GPF through PIC, they also do extend credits. However, to big businesses most of the time, perhaps it's one area that as a small business portfolio committee should pay attention to because we are also contributing towards the GPF. The mutual funds, we have seen Old Mutual is also venturing into a banking space. So there are four subsectors under the financial services sector in South African economy. But Chairperson, what we are saying for the purpose of this exercise, our focus is on lending credit providers. Only credit providers that are registered and regulated by a prudential authority, that are regulated by a financial sector conduct authority, that are regulated by a national credit regulator in terms of the interest that they charge. The next one, it's basically a definition of what constitutes a commercial bank, which is defined as a public entity registered in terms of the Banks Act. The second one, it's your mutual banks, which are licensed in terms of the Mutual Banks Act, as amended by the Financial Sector Regulation Act. There are three, in fact there are four now. It's Grahamstown Building Society, the Finbond, okay, the vendor has collapsed, then there's a new one, Bank Zero, which has recently been introduced into the market. Then the last one, Chairperson, there are cooperative banks and cooperative financial institutions that are registered in terms of the Cooperative Banks Act. They are also regulated by a prudential authority, by a financial sector conduct authority, and the national credit regulator. This distinction, Chairperson, is very important because there are a lot of micro lenders that are out there dishing out credits to individuals and small enterprises, charging exorbitant amount of money. So in our case, Chairperson, we're saying perhaps the department, it would be prudent for the department to consider forging and strengthening relationships with the types of entities that are registered by South African Reserve Bank, as we are putting it here. Other players, as indicated, Chairperson, are registered and regulated by Financial Sector Conduct Authority, and the National Credit Regulator, which has in its database 7,420 registered credit providers, which sadly include loan sharks. In terms of the National Credit Act, honorable members and Chairperson, a credit provider is not supposed to charge anything beyond 27% per annum. But you find that some of these, they are charging in excess of 40%, both to individuals and to struggling enterprises. And most struggling enterprises, they will resort to these type of entities because of the onerous requirements by the commercial banks, by your DFIs, your CIFA, your ITALA in KZN, etc. So it's one area, Chairperson, that I would like to implore members of the Portfolio Committee to also pay attention to. On slide number 12, we are saying here that there are challenges, again, with the commercial banking sector in as far as the small enterprises are concerned. Bullet point number one, while South Africa's finance sector has come to dominate the economy over the last two decades, accounting for 23% of the total GDP compared to 15% in 1995. The financial sector is not necessarily contributing much to economic growth. According to a paper on finance and human rights prepared by the Center for Human Rights at the UNIST of Pretoria and the Institute, in fact it's a quote here, Chairperson, to say the finance sector is not contributing much to the economic growth of the country. The Reserve Bank figures, honorable members, show that despite steadily rising personal debt levels, 34.5% of total bank credit in 2018 went to households. Again, it's an emphasis here to say most of the credit is not being advanced to your typical small enterprises, but it is advanced to the individual households. Less than 1% went to construction, which is a huge decline compared to the period before 2010. Investment in fixed capital has dropped to 13% of GDP in 2018 from 19% in 2010. We're saying here it could be it's a World Cup hangover. Banks have moved away from their traditional function of lending to the real economy. The real economy, Chairperson, we mean here is like the building of the actual infrastructure, like the construction, like the manufacturing, like the agriculture, the real production. So the banks have moved away from their traditional functions of lending to the real economy, such as construction and manufacturing, to lending to households in an exploitative and discriminatory manner. That is again according to the study by the University of Pretoria and the Institute for Economic Justice. Next slide, slide 13. Why the South African Reserve Bank announced in its last quarterly bulletin that household debt as a percentage of disposable income was 72%. It's growing, Chairperson. Not so long ago, it was in the region of about 50-something percent. And now it's 72% by the end of 2018. That is to say that almost 75% of households' available funds are spent on debt. It is a worrying sign for an economy whose consumers contribute almost 60% to the economy. The last bullet point is worryingly for South African policymakers, especially monetary policymakers, is the fact that debt servicing cost as a percentage of disposable income is on the increase, showing consumers are becoming more indebted. So an interest rate increase will hurt consumers big time, and this in an economy where consumers are already struggling and the economy barely showing signs of growing. This is basically an emphasis, Chairperson, that the banks usually will lend money to the individuals who produce payslip as compared to a small enterprise that has obtained a state tender from any government department. Then we turn our attention to the role of development finance institutions. Basically, the first slide, Chairperson, is a definition. National and international DFIs are specialized banks set up to support economic development. They do so primarily in developing countries, but also in advanced ones to address specific market failures in certain regions or sectors of the economy. They are usually majority owned by one or several governments, but sometimes private sector operators participate as well. In many respects, DFIs follow the same rules and use the same instruments. They provide loans, they give credit lines, they provide equity investments and guarantees, same way as commercial banks. The difference perhaps lies in their mandate or mission, which focuses on softer objectives such as economic development, poverty alleviation, economic integration, promotion of market economy, job creation, fighting climate change, gender equality. They usually take more risk and adopt a longer-term perspective on project return than regular commercial banks. This one, Chairperson, is debatable because others have argued that obtaining a credit or a loan from a DFI is much more difficult compared to a commercial bank. The jury is out there. Moreover, their shareholders do not require a specific return on equity, which relieves DFI of the pressure linked to economic performance and profitability. Again, another argument that keeps coming up is that DFIs that we have currently are misbehaving precisely because they are not required to operate like your commercial bank in terms of the profit, etc. Because of these differences, DFIs face specific challenges not encountered by commercial banks. Next slide. South Africa has a number of development finance institutions. Some incorporated and registered as state-owned companies in terms of the Public Finance Management Act, Industrial Development Corporation Act, Land and Agricultural Development Bank Act, and National Empowerment Fund Act, to name the few, like your IDC, your NEF, your KZN Itala, your CIFA, and your Rural Housing Loan Fund, to mention the few. Each of these DFIs have tended to finance enterprises in line with their mandate, or they are sector-specific. For instance, Land Bank only funds agriculture and agri-processing projects. NEF, when it was established, its focus was more on financing transformation projects or BE projects. But you can see in terms of their product offering now, that has been expanded to include like your region finance, for instance. CIFA on the small enterprise sector, again we are saying here, the CIFA was supposed to lend money to entities that comply with the National Small Enterprise Act, but there are instances where big businesses have benefited from SIFA funding, while in others are not sector-specific, like your Itala, it's not sector-specific. So long as you come up with a credible business proposal, they will fund you. Key challenges with DFIs, honorable members, unlike commercial banks, whose objectives can be simply expressed and measured in monetary terms like profitability and shareholder value, DFIs have political mandate, which often soft or qualitative objectives by nature difficult to measure. Assessing their relative success or failure in accomplishing their mandate is therefore difficult. Also, fragmentation of the DFIs and mandate obfuscation is not sustainable. Also, funding products are located in different DFIs, situated in different offices, away from each other, and communities or small businesses and cooperatives where they are meant to service. The next slide, 18, in spite of the referral system between or among different DFIs and some government departments, financial services is cumbersome and frustrating. DFIs do not guide their clients properly to enable them to manage their finances effectively so that they can meet the set requirements. Instead, they punish their clients for lack of business acumen and financial skills. So what we are saying here, honorable members, is most of the time, DFIs, they behave exactly the same way as the commercial banks, yet their mandate is to develop, to support the developmental state. The next bullet point, Chairperson, is products and offerings that, okay, the DFIs offer products offering that do not speak or address funding requirements for small enterprises. The next one is DFIs source their equity capital from governments or benefit from government guarantees. All DFIs receive their allocation from fiscus and based on their performance. The question may be asked, if they are still relevant, at what expense to the taxpayer? Should we instead not prioritize partnerships with the private sector capital? Last slide, lack or absence of remedy mechanism. When the application is rejected, usually the DFIs do not provide assistance to applicants or refer, except, in fact, we have picked that up with the SIFA as well. Perhaps it's only now, after the portfolio committee has intervened, to say if the application is rejected by SIFA, CETA should intervene. The next one is the amount of red tape compared to commercial banks is excessive. We attached Annexures C, which is an application form. It's actually on the file, honourable members. It's just to give one an indication of the requirements when one apply for a loan, either at CIFA or ETALA. For instance, I see there is ID of owners, authorized representative, marriage certificate, founding statement, certificate to commence business, deed of trust, authorization to act as a trustee. It's attached on the file, honorable members. You can just read at your own leisure. It could be. We could cut some of these things out and make it nice and punchy and make it easy for small enterprises to apply from DFIs. Then recommendations, Chairperson, I'm saying indicative recommendations because surely or maybe members will want to come up with their own recommendations. The current economic state is certainly a major contributor to the challenges that SMMEs experience in securing funding when they need it. This is in line with what USIFA presented during the BRRR process last week. South Africa's low economic growth over recent years has negatively impacted the future forecast of most companies, and SMMEs especially find it more difficult to show proof that they can remain solvent for the foreseeable future. This is, of course, one of the qualifying criteria set forth by funding institutions. So the first recommendation, Chairperson, that we are saying is, in deepening its comprehension of the sector, the Portfolio Committee should call together a financial sector symposium or a financial symposium where relevant stakeholders would be called to present their services and product offerings with a particular focus to dismantling barriers to accessing capital and red tape, measures to overcome onerous application requisites such as collateral and improve application turnaround times. The next recommendation, Honourable Members, is the Portfolio Committee must urgently engage other portfolio committees, particularly the Standing Committee on Finance, to discuss the issue of cession of income, cession of contract, or invoice discounting, specifically to those financial intermediaries, as indicated earlier, Chairperson, that this should only be allowed to those financial intermediaries that are regulated by Prudential Authority, by Financial Sector Conduct Authority, National Credit Regulator, and those DFIs like CIFA, which were created by an Act of Parliament. This will greatly assist small enterprises or to avoid them to resorting to loan sharks, and it will adequately deal with their cash flow problems. The next one, it's the period it takes for one to apply for a loan, for instance. It is a concern that those that apply for funding will wait for 12 weeks for a decision, sometimes more. 12 weeks is an indication. And they have mountains of bureaucracy that to get through. Owing to the time that small enterprises may need to spend on the required paperwork and the substantial amount of information required, some businesses may drop out in the initial application stages. This requires intervention such as the development of an automated credit model. Here we are making an example of the Chinese Alibaba, which is the world's biggest e-commerce company, where an applicant will apply for a loan in 3 seconds and get approval in 1 minute. It's possible with the technology. The next one, Honourable Members, the last one in fact, is in its annual performance plan to the Portfolio Committee, the department tabled what it termed a thematic approach to service delivery, with a particular section dedicated to finance. I've also attached the page with this file, Honourable Members, just for you to read as to, in terms of the particular approach by the department, what are the issues that they covered. There was financial sustainability, risk cover, business rescue, model funding agreement, SMME contracting models, SMME payment and funding facilities offered by CIFA. While recently there's been much focus on blended finance for small enterprises, including social enterprises. So the next bullet point, Honourable Members, we are saying there is a focus. In fact, let me start with the first one. What we are saying here, the Portfolio Committee needs to understand the trajectory that the department seeks to follow here. Then the second one, there are areas like your blended finance, we are seeing the same development with the land bank, for instance, that the department is trying to introduce. There are areas where, for instance, the Portfolio Committee and the department are talking past each other to say the same blended finance, for instance, will be extended to cooperatives, which are social enterprises, or some of them are not-for-profit enterprises. It's something that the Portfolio Committee and the department needs to discuss going forward. The third bullet point also, there's been an indication that the department, in collaboration with National Treasury, is crafting a national funding policy for small enterprises. This is another area, Honourable Members, that the Portfolio Committee will have to follow and influence going forward. So the recommendation is to say the portfolio committee should invite the department to provide briefing on these and other initiatives that may be on the pipeline in order to ensure the alignment with state priorities. Chairperson, that was the last slide. Thank you.
Thank you, too. Honorable members, here we are. I believe that the document is well detailed with a lot of terminology, but we'll get used to it.
Yeah.
Into in this format. So I'm happy the abbreviations are being evenly also outlined. We now know what is DFI, we know what is CIFA, but what is critical, it is for our benefit, honorable members, to understand the challenges faced by government. We can't say by this department, because this department is among other departments in government. So that as the portfolio committee, we can be able to guide, decide which issues are we feeling that can be changed, as Honorable Kruger has indicated that there was a request that we bring that bill as the portfolio committee. I'm told it was not just rejected, it was the issue of procedure, because that particular member wanted to work as an individual. Here we're working as a collective.
Right.
So this is a democratic country which allows all citizens to participate in its democracy. So here is the presentation. We've got recommendations. Hopefully members, we're noting, because he was evenly emphasizing that he feels if members can take this as of great concern, because the biggest concern is that there is a high unemployment rate. Our economy is not a joke, it's not growing. And the challenge should not be the challenge of the Minister of Small Business and Development. It should be our baby, all of us. And you can't change the situation unless you confront that particular situation with some certain changes which you feel these changes will make the difference in the department. The biggest challenge is access to funds. How do you start a business if you can't even get those funds? How do we say we are empowering our people? Meanwhile, the affected people are so frustrated on the ground. I think it's high time that we need to join hands, forget about our campaigns. We're no longer campaigning here, we're governing all of us. To can make sure that the hunger is a hunger. It doesn't affect ANC only. And it doesn't affect DA. It affects all of us. So we'll break just for 5 minutes. Prof did not get his breakfast, he was ill here. So let's break for 5 minutes, and then from there we'll come and look at those recommendations and input. Thank you.
You tell me. But luckily, I'm old now. See, I'm older than you, so I will retire before you.
Mr. Lederberg, you are the Yeah, it gives you that lift.
I have heard about that.
And my chemist for alumni got Gottlieb and Nathan Marvitz, but I didn't know that I would change the chair as well.
My life we used to, the whole week before day, we used to inject ourselves every day for 5 days. Because what we felt to put the antibody in your, so that the body manufactured more red blood.
And blood cells, yeah.
Blood cells. And that can carry, so the minute you put more red cells, it carry more oxygen. So by Saturday, you escape, you feel strong. And then on Monday, you start feeling up again. And you actually see that the red cells help yourself to be body open.
Mm.
So,
but it's not
even that's my list. Yeah, I'll do that. I promise you will feel quite different. I mean, you can drink pills, but it's not as efficient. Pills does that too. Wait, check yourself. Stay still.
Good work, Mama.
Good work.
Is it now simply that the petrol fighting?
No, I don't know.
Then you got to call that baby for sure happy. Or mad. Huh? Oh, Jesus, well. Hey, that's well. I wish my baby was. So is it time for the
$6
The last four, you think? No, on the presentation.
I would like us to engage on those recommendations so that we can conclude our business and go and prepare ourselves for plenary. Can you show by raise of hand? Last ball. Honorable Kruger, number two. Honorable Famelane, three. In that order. Please, the recommendations is based on the presentation, to make life easy. if we have noted something, even in the presentation itself, which you would like to infect in the recommendations, you are allowed to do so. You will all just quote for the presenter to note in which page are you. But if you are no longer interested, to go back to the presentation itself, you just need to zoom into the recommendations.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I would largely like to focus on the last page of the presentation. The previous pages indicated to us the problems that is facing those who want to access finance to start a business. And after having heard the content expert analysis, which we really appreciate, and I nearly thought that there is no hope until I saw the last page. Because for me, the lending model based on peer pressure, which is being rolled out by the SEF, I know you don't like abbreviations, but that is the Small Enterprise Foundation in Limpopo, seems to be the way to go. And I justify that by referring Honorable Chair to the success that Bangladesh had. But in Bangladesh, millions of people benefited from loans to start small businesses, but there was no peer pressure. However, when Indonesia adopted the Bangladesh model, they introduced peer pressure because in Bangladesh there was a billionaire who was prepared to give the money and not expect it to be paid back. Whereas in Indonesia, you know, they obviously wanted to recover the money. And in both Bangladesh and in Indonesia, the repayment profile showed that nearly 99% of debts were money were recovered. So I think that we mustn't lightly ignore Annex B on page 1 as a way forward, because there are so many vested interests that we will have to fight. And while we're fighting all those vested interests, I think there needs to be a parallel process where this portfolio committee supports the Limpopo initiative and in fact find ways and means to roll it out. And I just want to spend 2 or 3 minutes, because you refer to the village banks, and in Indonesia you had a banking session in the poorest of the poor villages, 1 hour every week, where all banking transactions were done in someone's house with 20 customers. And maybe in the neighborhood, the guy on his motorbike would go to 5 houses for the day and conduct 5 banking sessions. But I don't want to go into the detail, except that we have to look at models that have worked. And just in conclusion, that in Indonesia, where I was part of a field research with postdoctoral students, 3 million women are on the program, and they only got on the program because their families only had 1 hot meal per week before they started on the program. And it was mostly in the rural areas, but there were also some urban areas that participated. So I think that we must not lightly ignore the wonderful opportunity that exists with the initiative that is being taken in Limpopo. And it's very sad that we have heard in this portfolio committee that that is the one province that has received the least money from government as far as promoting and assisting small businesses is concerned. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, ma'am, and thank you for the content advisor for the support. Ma'am Chair, yes, I agree. There's two elephants in this room when it comes to financing of small businesses. The one is for sure retail, and the second one is CIFA's footprint in South Africa, especially the rural areas. I work a lot in the rural areas, especially in Mpumalanga. And when you speak to potential entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs, and they ask you where is money coming from, and you say CIFA, they don't know what is CIFA. You first have to explain what is CIFA stand for. So I want us, and I know it was already been a recommendation in this committee, but I think we need to make another recommendation, is that we need SIDA and CIFA to become one organization, share offices in municipal buildings, so that every single person in South Africa can have access to CIFA and to that finance. CIFA's footprint is not up to standard in South Africa. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Sabana. Thank you, Chair, and let me also take this opportunity to welcome the presentation and indicate that really it was an eye-opener for some of us who are starting to be part of this parliament and in this portfolio committee. But Chair, I'm also impressed that on slide 21 in the recommendation that we should call all the financial sectors symposium where all relevant stakeholders will participate, because honestly speaking, CIFA alone won't be able, and I think a small business is everybody's business. But Chair, I also want to make addition that as this portfolio committee, we need to encourage the department to work with other funding institutions that are regulated, so that we are able to relieve CIFA, because most of the time I know that there are many other institutions that are regulated in terms of your treasury and defined by the Act of Parliament. So I wanted us to add that resolution that let's bring all the institutions that are legal, so that we'll be able to help our people, because now I think we're always saying that CIFA is not doing that, but alone is not possible. Thank you, Chair. I think it's all what I wanted to submit.
Thank you. Any other input? Other honourable members,
Thank you, Chair. Let me also join the chorus by commending and the team for a good presentation. I think it really describes the situation that we find ourselves in. South Africa is not a poor country in terms of resources, but it's poor in terms of the redistribution of the resources. And the financial sector remains untransformed. Money is meant to help with the redistributive process of giving those that need opportunity. The one point that stood out for me is that we have more personal debt than debt used for productive or for income generation or productive use. So we consume more than we produce. And I think that's the fundamental problem of South Africans as compared to, say, the Asian countries. The Asian countries have a strong emphasis on using debt or credit for productive use, meaning to build assets and to create opportunities, start businesses, and that culture. So I think that's the broad point that we must bring through. I share the recommendations that, yes, we need to get
a symposium. But I also want to remind us that this is not the first time that South Africans are going to talk about the lament about the problems in the financial sector. There was a campaign in 2007 also from the, I think it was driven by and large by our alliance partner, the SACP, which had the financial services campaign, where we're looking at the transformation, and it brought out the neglect process of the financial sector charter, where it gave banks a list of changes that it needs to be done. Now it's 2019, 12 years down the line, we're still lamenting about the same problems. So I think what we need to also do, before we go into the symposium, let's dust off and remind ourselves of what are the commitments we made there, Comrade Tibisiso, so that we can first, as we call in the South African Banking Association. So I think they are the overarching regulatory, I'm not sure if they are the regulator, but they represent all the banks.
Mm.
And they must come and account to South Africa through Parliament. What have they done to implement the transformation of the banking sector? The point is made also here in this presentation that money is very easily accessible for those that want to, for rich people that want to borrow and to make debt, but it's not easily accessible for those that have human capital. And I agree with Comrade Hendricks that, sorry, Honourable Member Hendricks, that we must look at the village bank phenomena. The Grameen Bank in what's it, Bangladesh,
mm-hmm.
and then the Indonesian examples that you've mentioned. So it's already been practiced in Kenya with the Mpesa Bank. It's already been practiced in Limpopo. So I think what we need to do is, it's not that it can't happen, it's been shown, but
mm-hmm.
what we need is the political will shed. So I don't want to be long, but I'm sharing that we should take this, implement it. I think the first thing is maybe we should lobby our colleagues in the Financial Portfolio Committee, Portfolio Committee, and we also need to encourage our minister to be the political champion. So I hope the colleagues from ministry is here, that they will also convey this message to the minister, that we'd like her to be our champion around this, because we need a champion, we need a political leader that can say that the big challenge is access to funding, and it's not just about the money, it's about how do you use the financial instruments that serve our people.
Mm.
Because currently the financial instruments are not serving our communities, both the public, so let's clean our own house, the DFIs, I think there is an audit about that.
Mm-hmm.
We must see how we as oversight, so what the one under direct our control is CIFA.
Mm-hmm.
CIFA is meant to change the landscape. It's more of the same. If you look at the application criteria, even myself that has a few bank accounts and a property, will be difficult to get that loan, because
mm.
you need to draw blood, they need to ask all
mm.
these things. You take us through that application. How much so for someone that doesn't have all these assets? So it makes it really difficult for people that has a commitment, that has a drive to access funding. So we must find a mechanism. I was sharing, Chair, on a light note, I was in Pick and Pay and I opened a bank account. I opened a card, the Time Bank, the new bank. It took me 5 minutes in the machine alone. With your eye, you scan your eye and you give your ID. They print the card now. So South Africa has advanced technology.
Mm-hmm.
We're just not using it productively for all our people. And I hope that this portfolio committee can make that small contribution beyond the talking to lobby and that. So I wholeheartedly support the recommendations. It's important that we do time frames, who, when, what and how. Otherwise this will just be another talk shop check. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. Honorable Members, thanks for the input, but I just want to remind all of us here that
The purpose of this briefing is to sharpen us to be able to do our oversight and also to check, as our whip has indicated, they've taken some of my weight, that in my opening remarks I indicated that already the department is busy doing something. Ours is to check the position of the department at this current stage. What is it that they're trying to address based on what it has been presented? I think along those lines, our administrators, our researchers, as well as the administrators of the department must come together, look at those recommendations, because that is going to be too administrative. Check those recommendations, check the position of the department at the current state. What is it that they're doing to try to address some of the things before we dwell much? And exactly what the whip has said and other members. But what I want to clarify, honorable members, is on the issue of CIFA and CIDA. I think it's coming now and again. I felt I must try to clarify this. The department presented it clearly to us that they are now trying to align, to realign. And to realign is going to be a process. We appreciate that CIDA is a non-financial agency, and the other one is the financial agency, CIFA. What was troubling us and troubling our society was the frustration those vulnerable SMEs were receiving on the ground. To find out that CIDA will do all it's supposed to do, but at the end of the day, the one who should give money will refuse to do so. So when we say there should be some collaboration between the two, we want to make this a burden easier even for us. Because if the one who is supposed to give money is failing to do so, where are we taking this society to? Is that the problem? I agree with all of you on the issue of regulation, issue of rates, and also on the issue of the summit. Because talking alone here is going to be a talk show, as the whip has indicated. If we want to unlock certain things, I think we need to bring them on board so that we deliberate and express our views. Our role, after all, is to tell them to do the right thing. Otherwise, we're not here just to read documents, but we're here to make sure that what is supposed to happen is happening. And I fully support Honorable Hendricks on the issue of buying in the Limpopo model, because our problem is access to finance. That was our today's topic. So let us give them chance to go and prepare when they are ready, but let it be urgent. As I've indicated, liaise with your partners in the department and find exactly their position on this matter. Because there is something, if I remember very, very well, that the department is busy doing rather than to duplicate issues. But ourselves want to assist the department to achieve or to attain its targets. That's our role. Thank you. That was our last item on our agenda. Osmo will try just to fulfill those resolutions, adding exactly what Honorable members. I don't know whether you maybe want to say something. You're fine.
I'm covered, Chair. I'm covered, Chair, except maybe to add that next week we'll be doing another presentation on a different subject matter. For me, really, is to encourage our members to go and read, ask questions, because as indicated earlier on, the purpose of this exercise is to elicit discussion, debate, and comments from the members. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you so much. The meeting is done again.
Do you have my house?
Yes.
Go ahead, please do that. Please.
Did I hear you correctly?
Right?
Did I hear you correctly?
Xavier?
And your ref will work.
See you now.